Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat. Cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
The evil bitch that is coronavirus may still be raging outside, but Corolla Drinks is hard at work with another month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a free chapter from the upcoming I'm Your Emotional Support Animal audiobook, narrated by the Ace Man himself. Two bottles of Poopery toilet spray to save your family from the smells of your COVID diet. A key locator, so that when you're ready to finally go outside and lose your keys, you'll still be able to find them easily. A sleeping mask, so you can catch some Z's just like Adam. The entire audiobook for fan favorite AJ Benza's autobiography, 74 and Sunny. God, does this guy have stories. And of course, a bottle of your choosing. We know times are tough, but we at Corolla Drinks are here to remind you to take a breath, have a drink, and wait for all this shit to be over. Mahalo.
Well, once again, Mark Garagus fired out of a cannon, and this time with a bottle rocket up his ass. So he's covering some ground in this episode. Very simpatico on many of our thoughts, and lots of robust discussion. So that's coming. First, I'll tell you about NetSuite, Oracle. NetSuite and Oracle the last few months taught us what's important in life, and also you need to be fluid. You need to make some changes as well. Same for business. What changes should you make? Do you have a hairball of multiple software systems? Get it all under one roof. All you need is NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. Finance, HR, inventory, e-commerce, everything you need in one place. So you save time, save money, and you save getting a headache as well. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite gives you the visibility and control to manage every penny. Let's get that business into overdrive. Join the 20,000 plus companies who trust NetSuite. Right, Gary?
NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook of the top strategies they're using as America reopens for business. Receive your free guide, 7 Actions Businesses Need to Take Now, and schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/doubt. Get your free guide and schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/doubt, netsuite.com/doubt.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Corolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. Mark's in a hurry today, kids. Got to make hay while the sun shines. It's Reasonable Doubt.
I have a lot of lawsuits to prepare and file, not the least of which, by the way, and I know I'm once again 3 weeks in a row shot out of a cannon, but Eric Garcetti is just unbelievable. You saw 2 days ago, he now is mandating if you go out, you have to wear a face mask. And then the county of Los Angeles hopped right on that as we're doing this yesterday, Thursday. They're now mandating it. So you and I are both in violation as we sit here and in violation as we leave. And by the way, I will happily use this opportunity to sue yet again, because at least something happens when I sue. I mean, at least Newsom knew enough to specifically allow my mobile pet groomers to start opening up, and the others, the beaches, to start opening up. But this one may be the dumbest one of all.
The mask.
The mask. Yes. Let me explain why. Because you can say whatever you want about this, that masks protect the others, but it's only proper use of the masks, number one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, talk to any medical professional. If you're reusing the same mask, if you're not taking care of it, if you disinfect it, if you spray Lysol on it, you know, and then start inhaling it, whole thing is insane.
Half the people wear the mask. They're smoking while the thing's around their chin, you know.
How about the guys who take off the mask so they can cough? That's my, you know.
It's like they're pulling it down. They're taking a draw off a beer. They're pulling it back up again. It's not a science. It's all symbolism.
Right.
It really all. And also, this is where we start crossing over into this sort of gypsy kind of math sort of world that we're all living in now, where somehow you holding a mask will make you safer than leaving it at home. And it's all insane.
It really is infuriating. Look, yes, is this something that is horrible? Yes, it's a virus. It's killing people. Yes, we all accept that. But as I was explaining to somebody yesterday, who a close friend of mine who's a doctor and a doctor who deals in death, cardiac, and he said, you know, this is very similar to us just saying, okay, we've got a number of auto accidents that happen every single day. There were statistics that were released yesterday that the first 2 weeks of this shutdown, the fatalities due to auto accidents dropped dramatically. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then as they started going up. You can say the same thing, that we could now shut down the freeways because that's the way we're going to stop auto accidents and fatalities. People are getting killed because they're outside trying to get air and fresh air because, by the way, even though you're supposed to wear the mask outdoors, we don't have any indication. There is no science. Please tweet at us if you've got any science that it's been transmitted outdoors.
Well, we do have science. The science is it's not transmitted outdoors. The science.
Would you stop at him, because then we don't have any science that justifies the mask. And
right.
By the way, why does I've been talking to this poor woman who operates a farmer's market in LA, and she operates an outdoor market. By the way, for those of you who are progressive like me, the vendors, the ones who are living hand to mouth, are the people who come there to her farmer's market to sell at outdoor things. And she's closed down. Her landlord won't let her open up. But you can go literally within 1 mile to a Walmart, to a Lowe's, to any other place. Those places are opened up. She can do the exact same thing they're doing indoors. She can do it outdoors. She's not allowed to. They are allowed to.
First things first, for pragmatic people like ourselves, for people with horse sense, for people who have common sense, this is – if you handed me a number two pencil every 0.3 seconds, I'd just snap it and hand it back. I feel like people can just keep handing me pencils. I'd snap it and hand it back. It drives us insane because we're pragmatic. And the notion that you're being called reckless – when you're talking about reopening an economy, a business, a small business, business owners, that's the cherry on top of the shit sundae. There was an article in the USA Today a couple days back where they were talking about Georgia reopening, and all these fucking pussies are like, so people are supposed to die because you want to get your nails done. It's like, oh God, are you that big a simpleton? It's not because I need a haircut or I need a martini or I need my nails done. It's so that the people who own the businesses don't go under and perish, you idiots.
Well, you know, there's a lot of blame to go around, not the least of which is and it's both on the right and the left. I'm going to give you my interpretation. Economically, I don't care what you say. If you value America, part of what you have to do is we have to maintain some kind of economic system, whatever you want that to be. I will tell you one economic system that will never work. It's never worked in history. We've got demonstrable economic collapse based upon it. The idea of printing endless money to get yourself out of a crisis. You can't just keep printing money and giving away money and having people not have a return, whether it's a GDP, whether it is a employment figures or anything else. For those who think that we should just shut down indefinitely, and by the way, the mayor appears to be walking the line of one of those who believes that we have to close down and life will never be the same again until we have a cure. If that is your, if that's the baseline from which you're operating, then kiss it off. You might as well just say that America is done. That is not an American solution. Now, that's, by the way, that is comes straight out of the Secretary of Treasury, Mnuchin, who says we're going to print as much money as we need to get through this. Okay, that makes no sense. Those on the left, that there should be a guaranteed income. Okay, I get there should be stipends. Absolutely. Did I apply for PPP? Yes, of course I applied for PPP. I haven't, so far, I haven't had to lay anybody off. I took money, I sold, I took money out of my fucking IRA to fund the thing in the interim just so I wouldn't have to lay people off.
IRA is an Armenian dude who stashes Mark's money on offshore accounts. So a lot of people think it's an acronym. It is not. The guy's name is Ira.
Ira. There was an Ira Garagos who was an immigrant who changed his name to Garagos and didn't realize Ira was a Jewish name and thought he was Armenian. But the problem here is that there has to be some exit strategy, and nobody's got an exit strategy. Fine. You want to close down? I'm with you. Everybody did it. Everybody bought into it. They closed down. The reason for the closing down was what?
Flatten the curve.
Flatten the curve. Okay. We've stopped that. That's gone. So well, look, what is it now?
There was a ship, a medical ship. It had 1,000 beds in it. I don't know if 85 people used it, and the last I checked, it was heading out to sea.
Yeah.
So if there's any more indication that we're not being overwhelmed, it's that the floating hospital with 1,000 beds in it is leaving.
Well, now, there's two hospitals that were constructed within a mile of both my New York and my L.A. office. One was at the convention center here in L.A. The other was at the Javits Convention Center. Yeah. How many beds were used at either one of those things?
I don't know if anyone went in there.
Yeah, well, and guess what happened? Originally, it was going to be all the people who weren't being treated for corona, so we don't want to put them in the same place. We didn't want to pull a Governor Cuomo and send people into nursing homes and then further infect or create a hotspot. Well, guess what happened? Nobody wanted to go to the hospital. You have a stroke, you have a heart attack, you're not going to the hospital. You get corona, you die. So what ends up happening? These people stay at home. Now I'm seeing videos of people at the Department of Health saying, well, these corona deaths, we're saying anybody who dies, we're going to classify as a corona. If they're positive for corona when they die, that's a corona death. So we're not getting good figures. And when I do get figures or look at the figures like CalMatters for the various counties, then people are tweeting at me, well, that's for hospitalizations. Okay, so what? And they're saying, well, that's just because it's zero in 26 counties doesn't mean that nobody had it. Okay, I understand, but there's a concept in the law. It's actually in the evidence code that says the absence of evidence is not evidence. You know,
right.
But these people are they when faced with the reality. Okay, if you believe the shutdown worked, and that's why we're in this position now, where the parade of horribles didn't happen on the models. If that's the case, then fine, we got through it. We flattened the curve. So now when you're saying you've changed the goalpost, haven't you? Haven't you moved the goalpost? We're saying until we have a cure, life's not going to be normal. What are you talking about? Life's not going to be normal if you can't lay off tens of thousands of jobs in the city of L.A. of government workers and then pay them endlessly. L.A. doesn't print money. You can't go to the federal government if you're the mayor of L.A. and say, give me billions more. Because I've shut down this. And today, he just issued some. He's now planning on shutting off DWP, your utilities, if you're a non-essential business and you're open.
I got to say something, Mark. The scariest part of this, and I've said it many times, and we'll play a little clip from The View from the other last week, I think, if you have that.
Yes, we do.
See, the way I look at a lot of this stuff is, I get what the government is doing. The government, it's all a power grab. They're flexing their muscle. You've given them a riding crop. They're bonking everyone over the head with it. They finally got a chance to beat on people and flex their muscle and use their power, and they like it. I get it. I get it. Then, so I get the political side of this, and I get the LA Times and the CNN and USA Today. They're all hysterics. They're making money. They're cashing checks. They're writing the most horrific headlines they can write. They're in the hip pocket. Everyone is a symbiotic relationship between the powers that be, the government, and the news outlets. I get it. These are the salad days for both of them. CNN is getting great ratings. Garcetti and Newsom are on,
they're on national TV.
They're
loving
it. They've
got a great approval ratings.
They're loving it. I'll tell you, that I understand. I completely get it. I feel the same way about, you know, a business. The NBA is doing business with China. Yeah, they make money. I get it. It's not – I don't blame them. I don't. I blame the citizens and the ladies of The View in this particular case who have disdain – toward the Dallas salon owner, Shelley Luther, who reopens her salon and is trying to put money in the pockets of the women who rent the chairs out, because it's not her salon per se. They buy the chairs and they have clients. And I know Olga's daughter's a hairdresser. She hasn't worked in 3 months. Like, she's not a rich person. They need to work. Okay. But I do love the idea that the yentas from The View who are getting paid full freight have to look down their nose with disdain at the small business owner who's attempting to safely reopen her business. And by the way, everybody, if you do not feel it's safe to use her salon, you do not have to use her salon. You as an adult and as an American get to make choices. Choices. You want to ride a motorcycle? You may ride a motorcycle, or you can drive an SUV. One is 10 times safer than the other, but we still live in a country where you have the choice. If you would like to risk getting your fucking roots dyed by this gal in Texas, well, then you may put on a mask and head in.
Well, and let me tell you something. Most landlords, and I am a landlord on two beauty places. One is a salon, both in La Cañada. One is a salon, and then the one next door. I don't even know what they do there, but they're both the salon has got does nails or the other. I have not hammered them. I haven't filed anything. I haven't even filed a 3-day notice to pay rent or quit because I see how hard these women work when they're working. I mean, this is a thankless job to sit and work on white. Upper middle class women's feet all day long. I mean, to me, you couldn't pay me enough. I mean, I used to get repulsed when I was an altar boy and I had to wash guys' feet once a year on the Thursday before Easter. But this is a job they got to do every stinking day with these women. And so I haven't hassled them, but I can afford as a landlord to be benevolent to a degree, absorb the mortgage payment while they're not paying the rent. But this woman didn't have that opportunity.
And not only that, think about The View. First off, this is a woman.
We're not going to rag on Sunny, are we?
It's all coming.
Okay.
She here's The View. Here's The View.
Oh, this is I love Sunny.
Here's the problem. Okay. The View, think about the optics of this in any other situation. This is a woman who started her own business,
right,
who also employs other women, presumably a lot of ethnic women of color. If you've been to any salon or whatever, most of the people doing the heavy lifting over there ain't blue-eyed and red-haired. So
can I make an observation anecdote?
You may.
We filed Harmeet and I filed a just because, you know, Harmeet and I band together on this for a specific reason. Harmeet Dillon, who's been a guest and who's largely spoke at the Republican convention, because you can't get two people more opposite of the political spectrum than Harmeet and I. But with the Venn diagram where we overlap is when you crush the Constitution. This is the area you crush the Constitution. We filed against on behalf of a large group of cosmetologists, barbers, and people of that ilk. The overwhelming majority, anecdotally, of people who have contacted me since we've done this and everything else are people of color, and a large proportion of the Vietnamese and Asian
immigrants.
Female.
Yeah. All right. So The View is going to interview a woman who they would have labeled courageous in any other time, a woman they should be rooting for, a female who started her own business, who employs other women of a mixed heritage. And not only that, but look at it this way from a psychodynamic standpoint. The women of The View collectively have spent 200,000 hours inside of a salon, meaning they've been using salons their whole life. I mean, if you think about it, if you said to me, hey, you're going to interview this guy. He went rogue. He opened his own business. This guy operates a Color Me Mine pottery store. I'd be like, and if people really need to do kilns and baking and glaze during this time. But if you said the guy sold vintage Datsun parts, I'd be like, hey, this guy's a hero. Right? So what I'm saying is, this is a woman. She has her own business.
I believe I'm gonna have to sit here while you rag on Sonny.
I'm gonna rag on all of them.
Okay.
And she runs a beauty. She doesn't run a bait and tackle shop. She doesn't run a gun range or go kart track. She runs a salon, something these women spend all their free time in. But look at the disdain for the American who crossed the line. Here we go.
Shelley, coronavirus cases are already rising in Texas and across the country where restrictions have been lifted. And you worried about your staff and your customers. I would assume you're worried about your staff and customers getting sick since there's now an uptick because of people not following the rules, like yourself.
The rules.
Well, I think that there's a rise in the COVID cases because there's more testing available, and that has been discussed before. So we expected a rise in the cases. What we need to look at is the number of deaths, if that is plateauing at all, and to make sure that we have room in our hospital beds, and Texas has plenty of room in their beds and are able to care for the people that need to come in at this time. As a matter of fact, there's doctors and nurses getting furloughed because there's not enough work.
Okay. Well, the one thing that I do want to point out, Shelley, before we go, is that,
to this,
you know,
soliloquy.
I understand why you did what you did, but I would like to hear you put some of that fury and that passion towards the governments that didn't take care of the people. Because that's what they're supposed to do. So I want you to get out there and fight for all those folks who are not getting what they're supposed to be getting and not getting the information that they need. And then I think I'll feel better about watching you tell people, I'm feeding my people. I get it. We thank you for coming
in,
Shelley.
Whoopi Goldberg is incoherent. She can't string together a sentence. Only women could enjoy this daytime programming. You have to be unemployable to listen to Whoopi Goldberg. I don't know what she's saying. I know they both had great disdain toward the woman who didn't follow the rules. They were very upset. She made a point, and Whoopi Singh was like, hey, Whoopi, comment on her point. She made a point. You made an accusation. She made a point. You gave a tisk tisk.
This
bourgeoisie out there trying to work while we get paid in full.
This is what's infuriating.
This is the insidious, scary part. These women should be rooting for her, not tisk tisking her. Hey, come before the queens of The View and make amends. Kiss our feet. And it didn't tell you. Explain to us why we should let you open your business, small business owner, because we don't like it.
I will tell you that why. This is what I don't understand. This woman, I wish I had got her name, Gary.
Shelley Luther.
Shelley Luther, okay. Do you know why she's appealing? She's appealing because for the same reason I identified with Susan McDougall when Susan said, I'm going to take a stand. I'm willing to go to jail. I'm not going to cooperate with Ken Starr. I don't believe that this is a lawful independent counsel proceeding. And she took a stand, and she put her money where her mouth is, basically. She went to jail. You know, I've only had two clients. I've told you this before years ago. And probably no lawyer has had two clients ever who said, I'd rather go to jail on my principle. Her and Greg Anderson, who was Barry Bonds' trainer. And both of them knew full well that it was not a couple of days like this, but potentially a year and a half to 2 years, which they both did. So why isn't that something where when somebody – that's the – if Whoopi was here, I would say to Whoopi, listen, when you say to her, to Shelley Luther, that I wish you would have some of that passion or fury – I'd say she already did. She's got bona fides. You know what her bona fides are? She went to jail. If you're willing to go to jail, because I've said this before to you, Adam, I've walked into lockup, many a lockup, with guys who were charged with driving on a suspended license. The maximum they're going to do is 10 days, right? Back in the old days before the jails were overcrowded. Guys will say, I'll plead to a strike robbery. Just get me the fuck out of here. I don't want to do another minute's worth in jail. This woman... she could have very easily avoided it. She stood up for her principles. So that is what
a woman stood up for her principles, and all the women from The View shat upon her.
Well, I will always come to Sonny's defense because I love Sonny, and I think if Sonny was here, you and I could talk her into coming to our side of the ship. You don't buy it?
Here's what I think. Here's what I think the women from The View did. The women from The View did some sort of de facto math, and this is the new world order we're living in. She's from Texas. She's blonde. She's defying the rule of Texas. She's a Republican. She's probably a Trump supporter, and that's where the ire came from. If she was a woman of color who was pushing back against the man, that wouldn't have went down that way.
You know,
and if she was wearing a Obama shirt that said hope on it, it would have been a completely different approach. She would have been one of us. She would have been a strong woman who stood up against the man.
You know, there's you've hit on something that I've been struggling with for 6 or 8 weeks. As I have been attacking what I believe are the unconstitutional aspects of these orders, filing lawsuits and everything else, and you watch the protests. The protests are not the people who traditionally I would be fighting for, obviously. And I see the videos. And, you know, some of these protesters are smart. They've got face masks on. They keep distance. Others are not smart and are wearing Trumpian stuff. And I'm not a supporter. And it's a struggle for me, a struggle in this sense. Have we gotten to the point in this country where constitutional rights only matter if it's your ox that's getting gored? And that is really that's so dangerous. That's so scary to somebody like me who tries to do these things based upon just looking at the Constitution. And by the way, I can condemn I can easily condemn my side of the aisle as your side of the aisle because I'm guided by my Bible. My Bible is the Constitution. I try to make that my touchstone. And so that's a struggle, you know, and you've already hit on it. You've hit on it by your observation.
I can kind of tell what the opposition is these days, whether it's Shelley Luther or hydroxychloroquine, just sort of based on what the political R or D that got hung on it, and then I can tell what each side is going to do.
And you know, it's interesting because if you follow your analysis and kind of my trepidation about what's happening here, for those who are making a calculation and want to say that Trump has mishandled this crisis, I'm all in with you. I mean, it's been ridiculous. You don't have – you can watch one of Ben and Brett's Midas Touch ads, which are devastating, getting millions of views, to see how much they bollocks this up. But at the same time, this knee-jerk kind of idiotic reaction to embrace anything politically is a time bomb for you. You don't have to go any farther than the 25th congressional district election. A Republican just won that for the first time in 25 years to replace Katie Hill, who resigned because there were naked pictures. Why she did that, I'll never understand.
Why she resigned?
She resigned. Yeah, she resigned because somebody, her ex-husband, was doing three ways and released the pictures.
Mark has dick pics floating all over the internet. Exactly. He goes to work every fucking day.
What if I didn't get out of bed every time somebody was trying to extort me? I'd never get out of bed for every past bad judgment I made. So I don't understand that. I don't understand, guys, in California, when you lose a congressional election, you can talk about fervor, you can talk about this or that. That's a canary in the coal mine, Democrats. You guys have not figured that out. You're riding a horse that makes no sense, and you're going to – everything you've kind of calculated politically. If I can't talk to you rationally, then let me just try to talk to you politically. The fact that you just – the district just got flipped tells you you're missing the point. My humble opinion. Let me before tease one thing.
I'll tease the judge because Shelley Luther's judge –
yeah,
did something that I found very interesting as well.
We're going to talk about that, and we're not only going to tease that judge, we're going to tease for next week.
We're going to talk about
Emmett Sullivan. We're going to talk about Flynn, because boy, is that an onion that needs to be peeled. But first, my heroes, and I've said this before and I'll say it again every time they come on here. These guys, my brother-in-law, for some of you who listen all the time, know who passed away last year, much younger than me, with two beautiful kids and a beautiful wife. LegalZoom, he worked for them and they took care of him. They really did. And so that they deserve kudos for that. And with health and safety on everybody's minds, now make sure your loved ones are protected. LegalZoom. A reliable way to set up the right estate plan without leaving your home. Mind you, Paul, my late brother-in-law, was one of the ones who was instrumental in putting together their probate forms and things. So if you need a last will and testament or a living trust, what about an advanced healthcare directive? What's a power of attorney? Don't try to figure this out on your own. I can't even figure this out on my own. Not like as my father always used to say, if you can't stand arguing in the courtroom, go be a wills and trust lawyer. Don't try to figure everything out. If you need to speak to an attorney, they've got independent attorneys, a network to guide you, advise you. It isn't a law firm, so you won't have to worry about the expensive and the evil billable hour. Right, Gary?
That's right. Take an important step for your family today. Go to LegalZoom.com to get started on a last will, living trust, and more. Or find out how you can speak to an attorney for advice on the right estate plan. LegalZoom, where life meets legal.
Yeah, the second part of that Shelley Luther salon owner case was the male judge essentially telling the female to apologize. Apologize to the community, apologize to him. And if you didn't apologize, you know, if you do apologize, $50, you can go home. If you don't apologize, I'm going to incarcerate you. First off, we're on a pretty slippery slope here where judges are explaining, here's what I need you to do. You need to go around that flagpole twice and say, Ollie, Ollie, oxen free, or I'm going to put you in a cage.
Well, the judge will remain nameless, and I just, I mentioned Greg Anderson, but I'll... And I think I've told this story publicly, so it doesn't violate the attorney-client privilege. And I think he gave me permission at one point that I could tell this story. As he was being when Greg was going into custody, he wouldn't testify against Barry Bonds. And he would be in custody. Then we go to the Ninth Circuit. They'd reverse it. We'd come down. He'd get out. Then he'd have to go back in again. Blah, blah, blah. We did this, I don't know, it seemed like three or four times. And I remember the last time. And the judge says, looked down in a very avuncular fashion and said, Mr. Gergis, does your client have anything to say? I don't want to put him back in custody again. All he's got to do is go in front of the grand jury and testify truthfully in front of Mr. Bonds. And Greg used to say, this isn't about Barry Bonds. This is about the prosecutors trying to get me to say something that's not true. And it's a perjury trap, which kind of leads into next week's Flynn thing. And so I turned to Greg, do you have anything to say to his honor? And Greg turns to me and says, yeah, tell him to suck my dick. So no, Your Honor, we got nothing more to say. but it was almost like, yes, Your Honor, if you recite the incantations, then therefore you will be absolved of your sin and you can go on your way. That should not be, by the way, And it's frustrating, and I've told you before, in certain cases where judges do this, you want to just – my inclination is I want to take an Uzi, go in and break my client out of custody. The judges should not be doing this. That isn't a judicial – you're not supposed to be kind of this – I've got to get you to acknowledge something. It's part of what was so frustrating about parole hearings, for instance – where you have to express remorse. Well, what about the person who served his time but is contested his guilt? No, you got to recite. I got to indoctrinate you to come to my viewpoint, and you got to recite these incantations that may or may not be true, but you got to fake it.
Yeah, as a lay person, I want to be consistent. I do like it when the judge catches the kid who's a perpetual shoplifter, and he has to wear a sign out front of the Quigley's liquor store that he got caught stealing from for a fifth time, that I am a thief. And so I'd be a hypocrite if I said, no, just go ahead and look at your sentencing guidelines and apply it to the kid. I like it when they do that kind of stuff.
You like the public shaming because you believe, as do I, having gone through this system for almost four decades, the Michael Richards mentality, which is you've used many a time, there is something that is worse than a traditional punishment, and that's the collateral damage of a public shaming.
Well, as I got into it famously with Gloria Allred, don't you think Michael Richards would like to have spent the weekend in lockup and then cut a check for $200,000 and have this in his rearview mirror? Versus the we're going on year 14 of him being a pariah, and when he dies, this will be the first thing on the obit.
Well, look at Martha Stewart, who famously went to jail for insider trading, he did her time. At one point, she just said, I'm not doing the appeals anymore. I'm just doing my time like a badass.
Right.
And came out and has flourished
right.
ever since because she went through the public shaming but then decided, okay, I'm going to lean into this. And she did lean into it.
So the judge in that case where he was saying – you need to apologize to the community and you need to admit you've done wrong. And then if you do, then I'll let you go. But if you don't, then I won't. Then I'm going to lock you up. First things first, it feels to me like there needs to be a consequence for ignoring a state demand. Meaning, you know, the state says, there's riots and the curfew's 10 o'clock. Everyone in by 10. And my son's out riding his bike at 10:30. The state should say anyone who's caught doing that has a fine of $250 and a possible whatever. But should the judge be able to say to my son, you got to go to Devil's Island because I feel super strongly about these riots? Or why is that in his power even?
Well, it's a kind of a conundrum in the criminal law. And, you know, originally the judges had discretion to impose a sentence in the federal system, for instance, prior to 19, whatever it was, 80 something. Then all of a sudden people had the same reaction that you just do. Why is there so much discretion? Why is a guy in Massachusetts getting for the same crime, getting something that's different than somebody in Idaho? So the sentencing guidelines were born. And then what happens? Then, because of the sentencing guidelines, prosecutors knew how to manipulate that because that's what prosecutors do. And they started charging such that it left judges with really no discretion. They had to give higher sentences, and the prosecutors were gaming the system. It all became a game, you know.
Right.
I'll charge you or I'll indict you on money laundering on a case with an intended loss of a zillion dollars, so the number of levels that you're charged with is this high, and so the judge has got very little discretion. He's got to sentence you to, you know, 10 times as much time as a judge normally would have. So that's the problem. Human nature is that there's – it becomes a game, so to speak. That's the kind of unintended consequence of trying to do good in the first place.
So we'll get into Emmett Sullivan in the next show we do, next week's show, because that's a very interesting story.
Because, by the way, we certainly want to talk about how in last week, Gary, did we Did Reasonable Doubt give a coming attraction on this story? And if you stay tuned for next week, you'll see it. We talked about it last week, Adam, do you remember? And we said specifically, hey, not so fast. Emmett Sullivan, what did we call? I think I called him
An independent thinker.
I said, I know this judge from sitting on a panel with him. I know this judge from the Ted Stevens case. This judge is not going to just say, oh, government, you told me blah, 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 and now you're telling me this, and Mike Flynn, you're telling me this. And sure enough, we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, because he did something that I don't think anyone expected except for Mark did.
Because people, well, we'll just tease it for next week. You can give your plugs and then we'll get to next week.
I'll finish.
Where are you tonight, by the way?
If you find a couple of tweets, I'm going to Houston this coming week.
Okay.
Because
how are you getting there?
I'm flying.
Are you flying
Southwest.
Private?
No.
Really?
Flying Southwest.
When are you leaving?
So the Houston Improv is in Texas, obviously, and they're reopening things. And they're reopening it with rules. I think the capacity of the Houston Improv, and Gary, if you can find my last three or four tweets for Mark, for us to delight.
If you're
Mark
going to Houston, how many people do you usually go with?
So I'll give you the nuts and the bolts.
Okay.
Houston is reopening their comedy club, the Improv. Houston reached out to us and said, would you like to be probably the first name comedian to actually perform after everything shut down? L.A., the stand-up clubs here are going to be shut down for, 2,000 years. They do a thing where I think the capacity of the club is about 450, and they'll probably let in, I think the rule is about half that.
Half that, right.
Right. So you get 225 people in there. We do free shows. It's all benefits, all going to the Houston food bank. Dan Crenshaw, the congressman with the patch on his eyes, interesting guy. He's out there, so he's going to come join me. I'm going to do some live podcasts there. I'm going to do a stand-up show there. But most importantly, I'm going out for a steak and a cocktail when the show is over because I want to get my hair cut. And I literally, Mike and I are planning restaurants like Churchill and MacArthur were working on World War II. Like, I have a war room in my basement. I'm sliding. Mastro's slides out. Morton's goes in front of it.
Right.
I announced to him today, we can't have steaks every night. We got to get some Tex-Mex in there at a certain point. We've already locked down Mastro's.
So who's going? You and August?
Me, Mike, and Chris Loxamana are going.
Okay.
And I'm going to have a goddamn martini and a steak and a Naugahyde booth.
Wow.
That's what I'm doing.
I'm so jealous.
I'm doing a bunch of stand-up for free. I wrote some tweets that one got 2. Something million.
Views. I saw this one. I retweeted this one.
Oh, that's good. Well, then. Yeah.
Let's see. So read it.
It says, Governor Newsom says California won't be back to normal until we have a vaccine. Here's the problem. California hasn't been normal for 20 years. And it could have said 30 years.
This is my favorite one right here.
Newsom just tacked 3 months onto our sentence for good behavior. Here's a wordy one I just did. Finally, some good news for Los Angelinos. We're experts at talking through plexiglass. From arguing with the nice man at the check cashing place to being refused the bathroom key at the gas station or catching up with family in prison. This is our time to shine.
This is some pretty good material I noticed out of you this week. Maybe quarantine suits you.
Have
you thought of that?
I don't know.
Some of your best material.
In California, our rule is if you play by the rules, you get more rules. There's no rules for people who don't follow the rules. That's, in a nutshell, what's going on in California. Stricter rules for the taxpayers to play by the rules and cigarettes and scotch delivered to your room when you're staying in a hotel for free if you do not pay taxes.
Exactly.
You do not buy play.
And as always, and we'll file next week, as always, God forbid that you go to an AA meeting, we'll send the LAPD in to shut it down.
That, folks, it's that chasm that's the sort of thread on the sweater of society. That's, you can't pull on that hard.
Yeah,
because
I'm just telling you, there are going to be consequences to this complete irrationality.
All right. I'm your emotional support animal. My new book, available the 16th of June, and you can pre-order it on Amazon. The audiobook, I think it's about 6.5 hours worth of me, so enjoy that as well. Go to Chassis and check out all the movies over there. They're all running there. You can get the Blu-ray, and I'll sign it and all that. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We'll put our stand-up and our shows up there, youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Mark?
I've got the Capri Hotel in Southampton's in the Hamptons reopening this weekend as I speak next weekend. We're taking special safety precautions to ensure that you can enjoy a fun getaway while staying safe and practicing social distancing. Mention Reasonable Doubt, 10% off your stay. And now is a great time to also tell you about Zen Monkey, which is a fast and easy breakfast made of oatmeal, yogurt, and fruit. You can order from the website Zen Monkey Breakfast.com. Get 2 weeks of ready-to-go breakfast shipped anywhere in the U.S. Use discount code RD to get 10% off your order.
All right. So, till next time, Adam Carolla, Mark Garagos, Sam, mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.